The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 39 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, welcome to episode 39 of The Catholics of Oz, and we're back. We've had a bit of a break. We're just having a bit of a, it's probably more of a mental rest because we can't actually physically go anywhere at the moment, but we've just been dealing with our new circumstances, which I'm sure we'll say a few things about today. But it's good to be back. It's good to be joining you again. I hope you didn't miss us too much. And actually, I hope you missed us a little bit. Right? We want to feel missed. So, yeah. So before we continue, yes, my name is Lindsay Sett, host of the show. And hosting with me today is my lovely sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how have you been?
I'm good. Going a bit stir crazy in lockdown, but okay.
Yeah. Hence the background I could see you've got there in Skype
crazy
today.
Lab. Yeah.
Yeah. And also joining us, our other host of the show at the moment is Lido Sabol. Lido, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you all?
Going well. Going well. Are you guys drinking anything for today's show? I've got my coffee here. It's a black coffee.
I have my chamomile tea. Chamomile and spiced apple tea, actually.
Ooh, fancy. Spiced. Wow.
Very spicy.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, all right. Lido, you got anything there?
Just a coffee with Essendon, which they're not doing too well this year. But anyway, that's another thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Maybe they need your coffee. Actually, let's not offer them any advice because there was a massive drug scandal with Essendon a few years ago. We don't want to give them any
motivations taking that out.
With your coffee, is it the vanilla syrup coffee?
No. My wife Isabel discovered the vanilla syrup. She discovered the joys and wonders of it, and the vanilla syrup disappeared very quickly because the two of us were getting into it. And sadly, Aldi, the supermarket where I buy it from, only bring it out once a year as a special. So while I did buy as much of it as I possibly could, it's disappeared. However, Aldi does have, I wouldn't say it's the best alternative, but they do have Irish cream coffee pods, which are pretty good. It's like a Bailey's and coffee. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. There you go.
Yeah, except it doesn't make you feel woozy afterwards because it's just the flavor. So
now, what's the fun in that?
Yeah. it's still got the taste, you know. But can I say this? So only the two of you can see my coffee. So you can see this black coffee in my glass here. So
it's a very fancy coffee mug.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's another LD one as well. But the thing is, I wanted more coffee than usual. So normally what I'll do is I'll put a coffee pot in. I know that with the pods, you know, you do one shot of the small, you know, the small shot, the espresso shot, and that's where you get the best coffee from. If you it ends up becoming watered down coffee. But I was like, I need more. Ooh. And so I ended up with this cup of watered down coffee now. I just pushed the line a little bit too much. So I've got coffee flavored water today. And I'm sure it's having an effect, but it's basically watered down coffee, but you know. I need something. So if you're listening to our little talk about drinks, what are you drinking right now?
Coffee Connoisseur Club.
Yeah.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah. Anyway, but before we continue today's show, we'd just like to remind everyone, please, to like the Catholics of Oz on the SQPN Facebook page whenever posts about our episodes come out. Please also share those posts, tell people about it, retweet our episodes on Twitter. Leave us comments, please. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app. And don't forget that SQPN puts all of its shows on YouTube as well. So if you want, you can subscribe to SQPN's YouTube channel and you can hit the bell to get notifications when new episodes of anything comes out, including the Catholics of Oz. Also, please, if you have a moment, please leave us a lovely 5-star review with some nice comments, because that helps other people to find the podcast. You know, the algorithms say, hey, people are listening and talking about it. You should listen to this too. And it helps us to connect with more people. And as always, that's what we're all about, is about connecting with you and growing this family, this Catholic family and non-Catholic, who knows, whoever you are who's listening, just being with you with this podcast. It's a great joy for us, and I hope it's a joy for you. So with that, we're going to move into today's episode. So we had a chat. So let's get some context, guys. We're here we are. We're in stage 4 lockdown. So I don't think we were in stage 4 when in our last episode. Were we 4 weeks ago?
No, we weren't.
We were like a couple of weeks in stage 3. And I think stage 4 started maybe a week later or something because the numbers were skyrocketing.
Yeah, so I don't remember. I actually don't remember if we talked about whether we thought it was coming or there were discussions about when it would happen. Certainly outside this podcast, I don't remember what we said. So we'll get the fact checkers onto that one. However, a week after the last episode, so episode 38 came out. The numbers were unfortunately getting higher and higher. So what was it like a roller coaster, wasn't it, guys?
Yeah, it was.
Where, yeah. It would, you know, it'd go up for 2 days, or drop up and then suddenly would skyrocket, you know. So the number of cases, unfortunately, in the state of Victoria, in Australia, all the other states are doing relatively okay. But in the state of Victoria, the numbers were getting high. I think our peak was 700 and something.
Yeah, it was very high.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of people around the world, because I know that there are other countries where, I mean, you know, they're talking about thousands of people. And I think from memory, the United States, now this is across the United States, not just in one place, but they've been talking about, you know, 20, 30,000 cases daily at some point.
But you have to remember,
by the time this podcast comes out.
But you have to remember too, our cases are with measures in place. So we had higher cases even with some measures. So they had to put even more measures to try and really get it down. And seems to be working. Yeah. I mean, the daily case numbers are in like under 200 every day now.
Exactly.
The last couple of days. So
yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're getting in the right place. Yeah. At their peak, I think what they're worried about was that community transmission wasn't being measured properly. Like there were people who were getting like lots of mystery cases coming up that couldn't be traced. Anyway, the point that we're trying to get to is, so we find ourselves now at the time of recording, right in the middle of stage 4 restrictions. We're halfway through the 6-week period. And I guess we're just trying to not to go too stir crazy, I guess. Yeah. But what we thought today was, you know, with us returning to the podcast after our little break, and the break really was for us to, we were already in stage 3, but I think we just needed a bit of a mental break, just so that we could look after ourselves and our families a little bit more. There was, there's a lot of, you know, work-related things that kept us busy, a lot of life-related things that kept us busy. So, you know, Caroline, your boys were already at home doing school with you while you were trying
working
to work.
Working and schooling at the same time. Yeah.
So we just needed a bit of a breather before we got back behind the mics again. So we thought we'd just have a casual episode today. We do have topics to talk about, but we won't necessarily, you know, put them into any categories or any segments or anything. We thought we'd just have a bit of a casual discussion, and we wanted to just be with you, whoever's listening. You know, just spend some time with you. Hopefully, our little banter today is is worth your time. And if there's anything that we talk about, you know, that you want to contribute to, we definitely want to hear it. So, guys, I thought, why don't we kick off the discussion with a short article that came out in the Melbourne Catholic, which is the sort of official publication of the Archdiocese of Melbourne. And it's called Coping with Isolation. And I thought it was really relevant because it was, you know, the idea of, you know, living under stage 4 restrictions and how we deal with it. Whether people are, you know, are alone at the moment or with families, it's probably important for us to think about what our situation is like and to assess how we're feeling and what we're thinking and how things are going on in our heads at the moment. Because I think that's what most of, if you know, and I don't mean to, you know, because I know that some people who are listening are probably a bit anxious at the moment as well in their different parts of the world. So I don't mean to continue going on about that, but it's where. I think it would be fair to say that a lot of people in Victoria at the moment, they are feeling the strain at this halfway point, you know, of our restrictions. So I thought, guys, why don't we just go through this and talk about some of the things that come up here. So this person who wrote it is from Catholic Care. Her name is Liz Galel. And she's saying that, you know, at this stage, she's lost count of how many days it's been in lockdown. She's an introvert. And she was actually quite comfortable with the start of the lockdown period. However, she's starting to feel the absence of seeing her family and her friends on a day-to-day basis. So I thought let's talk about that first of all. Caroline, I'll start with you. Obviously, you know, I haven't been to your house
No.
since, honestly, like seriously,
since before March.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And Lino, I'd say the same.
Yeah,
I haven't been to your house before March. Yeah.
Well, of course, Caroline too. Yeah.
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 Even though I go past your place, Caroline, when I sometimes have to drive through. But wow.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Mm. No.
Yeah. And here we are now in August. I guess from your perspective, guys, what have you been doing, I guess, to maintain some connection with family and friends? Caroline, why don't we throw it to you first?
Well, I guess you and I can actually chat about this part together because every Saturday night, Lindsay, we have a family dinner, don't we? Like, but yep. On Skype. So, okay, look, this is a really silly thing, but...
it's not silly,
but
Caroline.
The thing is, we've justified this by saying you have to laugh. Yeah, we have to have a laugh at this time. So, Caroline, tell everyone what
so
we do.
Okay, we try and turn negatives into positives, I guess. But, okay, this is just the way we... This is our sense of humour in our family, okay? So, so we watch the daily update, you know, our premiere will come on TV every day, and occasionally we'll have, like, the police minister from our state or a representative of the police come and speak, and he'll talk about who's been fined that day for breaching conditions.
Oh,
and
here we go.
Usually yep. involves yes. someone. Look, it's
oh
been involving someone
me.
Driving further than they're allowed to for some kind of takeaway. All
donuts,
right.
So donuts. Like
donuts was the most recent one, yeah.
And I think goodness burgers me. Was another one
yeah, burgers,
very
yes,
recently.
Yes, yes, yep.
The first one was KFC where somebody
oh,
went and bought.
bought. Yes.
So they were noticed actually by ambulance who'd actually been in the KFC restaurant at the same time, but these people were ordering like way more KFC than two people would require, and they were a bit suspicious. So they managed to have the authorities go and visit their house, and it turned out that they were having a party when they weren't supposed to be, and the two people were there, but then they hidden a whole bunch of like 20
oh
guests or something God. Out
yeah,
the
a whole
back
lot of guests.
In the garage.
Wow. Person sleeping in the house apparently, yeah.
Yeah, so we decided, yeah. Okay, family dinner, I don't know how that idea came up, but we thought, let's
wow.
all have KFC and we'll have it as a family dinner, so we did that. And so it's kind of been a tradition now every Saturday night if there's if someone's been fined for, you know, having some kind of takeaway. It's happening really regularly.
It
so we're not out
regularly.
Of ideas
yeah.
yet.
No.
So,
no.
So yes, we've done KFC, McDonald's, pizza.
Yep.
I can't remember what else, but we did throw in
well, tonight is burgers, yeah.
Burgers
we're having
tonight.
A burger night tonight.
We
so,
did
yeah.
do one night where it's yep. home cooking, so we made our favourite dish
yep.
and we did that.
Yeah, we had a taco night at my house.
Yes.
Yeah, that not related to anyone being fined.
No.
Let's keep the,
and
no one's been fined this week. That you know they haven't told
yeah.
us what they've been fined for.
What do you
for,
guys
so
say that?
Just,
I think yeah. of what's that song from Simpsons? Taco, Taco Man. I wanna be a taco man.
Was that Nacho Man?
Yeah,
nacho.
With a giant
yeah,
hat. Yeah, that was great.
That's good. I like
yeah.
that.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
no, right.
Yeah.
yeah so, but now, just to clarify, people aren't being fined for getting fast food.
No,
we have
no,
to just,
no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
People are being fined. So we have a 5 kilometer zone. You're not allowed to leave 5 kilometers. You're not allowed to go 5 kilometers beyond where you live.
To get
so
food,
this is to help prevent
to get
the spread
anything
of the virus.
You need to exercise.
Yeah.
You've got to stay in your little area.
Yeah.
Mm.
So there was one person who wanted a Big Mac and they went all the way to, was it, where did they go? Was it not Geelong or
it
somewhere?
It was a real, like an hour and a half drive or something.
Yeah, like
an
hour and
long.
A half drive to get a Big
yeah.
Mac, yeah. So, and, you know, clearly they've told the police that's why they went, but, you know, there's obviously been other stuff going on.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yes.
It started this whole thing where now we watch the police reports and we see if someone's been fined for something. Now, on my Skype chat list of channels because I make a group every Saturday for us all the family to click
oh you've got
to
go
to.
Through the names of them
so
oh, no.
So the first one is the first group I called did someone say KFC
yes yes
so
yes.
The second one because it was a McDonald's one was I'm loving
yeah.
it yeah and the third one the pizza one I forgot but I got a
pizza
picture of Dougie remember
it?
Dougie from
oh,
the Pizza
yeah,
Hut commercials
special.
Yeah. Maybe I should have called it 131166 with that song.
Yes.
There was a song in the commercial. Yeah. Now, just very quickly, and look, this is probably not going to be the highest quality, but it's all right. We're having a casual podcast. We had a laugh about, and you guys
oh,
might better see it in
yes.
your camera.
Yes.
That was awesome.
So someone on the internet stitched together, you know, the police report, with the KFC ad. So I just need to quickly play this for our listeners to see how silly this is. Here we go.
Subsequently, there was a report made to us. We got the registration number of that car and we followed through and went to that address in Dandenong. It was a townhouse. When we went in, there were two people asleep in there, but there were 16 others hiding out the back and they just got these KFC meals at a birthday.
Did someone say KFC?
Okay, sorry, I had to share that. It's so bad, but it's so funny. So we're not laughing at people's demise that they got fined, but we're just we just need to see the funny side at times.
Exactly.
And that's what we've been doing. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And they shouldn't be doing the wrong thing anyway. Follow the rules.
Yes. stop it so we can actually get out.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, Carol, that's one thing we've been doing to stay connected with our. So you know, we have other family who join us as well. They don't necessarily go and get all the things that we get.
So we have our other brother Paul and our sister Marilyn who joins us, and our mum as well. So our families will Skype together, and it's mainly a sibling thing, really. So the four of us, and our families get together and. You know, so the cousins, like, can talk to each other and stuff. So we have a bit of a family gathering virtually. So it is pretty fun.
Well, cool. All of our kids yell through the TV.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Hi, Frankie. Yeah. Hi, Damien. Yeah. Hi, Harry.
And then they're back to screens anyway. So.
Yeah, we've seen each other. Get the iPads out now.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Because they're already playing games with each other online
Exactly.
Lino, have you been doing anything to stay connected to particular people at all?
Just phone calls. Yeah, just phone calls. FaceTime mum, which I try once a week to see what's going on. But majority of the time is just phone calls and, text messages from you guys and other friends.
Yeah, we have a good chat on our chat, don't we?
Yeah. We'll start the subject. Well, let's go, we're going to keep going. Yeah. It comes up with like 23 notifications on your phone comes up. But, that's mostly it. Yeah, for us. Changes for this COVID? I was talking to you guys before. Bernie's working from home now. So it's probably permanent for the 6 weeks. And I work for shifts now. I work in shifts.
Tell us how your work has changed.
Because we've got six people there because of our work, they split us up in half. So three people work in the morning shift, three people work in the Arvo shift. And then for the first week, we work for between 6 in the morning to 12. And then the other shift comes up and they work from 12:30 to 6:30. And then we rotate those shifts so we don't, going stir crazy in a sense. Not doing the shifts over and over and over again. But what I like about it is that it's not a day by day shifts. You know what I mean? You're not working from 6 in the morning and then next day you're working from 12:30 in the afternoon the next day. So it's only the week. So I like that. Your body clock sort of gets better in a sense. But besides that, we're lucky to have a job in a sense, eh?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the other people who don't and who are struggling, and it's hard for everyone. But we just need to just fight on this, and it's crazy. We're like you said, we were just talking about stage three just before we finished our other podcast episode.
Our last episode, yeah.
And now stage four comes up, and what were the restrictions again? Was 5Ks beyond now?
You can't go beyond 5Ks to get what you need.
Exactly. Yeah. For all the listeners there, there's like even for work, we need a, what was it called?
You need a permit.
Permit to go beyond. That makes sense because I'm thinking though the court and the listeners go, wait a minute. How are you going to get to work? Yeah, we have to have a permit to go beyond the 5Ks to work and come back. And now we've got a curfew, which happens between
5 a.m. and 8 p.m. Yeah.
8 p.m. Yep, 5 a.m. and 8 p.m. And then it's sometimes hard. And we're lucky with guys who were saying about, there's people going beyond and doing takeout in certain times. I think there's a few memes on Facebook about that.
Yes.
Because this guy's in jail He goes, "What are you in jail for?" "Oh, I went to Macca's," and I was like, what's it, 1 minute past eight? I got to jail for that.
Yeah. And then I saw one. I think a similar one. Was it they've got two characters from The Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, that's it. That's sitting the in prison, one. Yeah. That's the one.
And he
Lindsay.
Goes, "What are you in for?" He goes, "I put the bins out at 8:01.
That's the one. Yep, that's the one. And then
I've seen that meme. There's a lot of variations. Lot of of it,
and then there's a joke going on for us Victorians now. You know, this COVID-19 is like the Spice Girls. All of them are doing the right thing, except Victoria.
Which is
pretty straight on. And now, and because of what happened to us in Victoria, it depends on what sport you like. We've lost the grand final. You know,
is that official? Has that happened?
Well, it's not happening
in Melbourne. That's for sure.
It definitely won't happen in Melbourne, Linz.
Yeah.
I can tell you that now because what are we now? August, then
September.
September, that's right.
Exactly. So Queensland and Western Australia will have to fight for it now and to see how it goes. But look, we're going to keep on going, guys, and hopefully...
My feeling at the moment is Western Australia, because there were, I think there were 12 cases in a juvenile prison
in Queensland.
In Queensland.
Oh, wow, yes. Was it? Oh,
new
no.
New case, yeah. Small breakout.
Yeah.
Just
exactly.
Happened,
and New South Wales. I mean, and Queensland, actually, they just put a restriction on family gatherings
they
to 10 people this morning.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
They did.
Queensland. Yeah.
New South Wales
and
has
no
some
visitors
restrictions.
To nursing homes and things like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a wave going up and down.
Can I ask everyone to say a few prayers for people
in
nursing homes?
Yes.
I don't know what it's like in different parts around the world, but it's
most of our casualties are.
Yeah. And if anyone who is listening who has an elderly person who's passed away because they're in a nursing home with COVID, or who's worried about that, please know that we're praying for you and
definitely
thinking of you. Our hearts hurt like yours when we're hearing these stories, because the majority of the daily deaths, so we have deaths in the 10 to 15, sometimes close to 20. The majority of those deaths every day are from people who were in nursing homes who didn't have good enough protections to protect their residents, which is really sad. So, I really hope that from this, because there is a Royal Commission into nursing homes happening at the moment, I really hope from this that nursing homes get better.
Yes, they
need to be improved a lot. Yeah, so I hope that they...
Exactly.
Sorry, Lena, were you about to say something?
No. Sorry for bringing down the...
No, that's fine. That's fine.
The conversation, guys. Yeah,
it's part of it.
This is our conversation today. And it's good for us to raise, things that need to be thought about too. You know, while we do want to have a laugh about some aspects, we also, we want to think about the importance of compassion in other areas. Why don't we just talk about compassion really briefly and then we'll get back to this article. So we watched so every week, Archbishop Peter Comensoli, friend of the show, I'm going to say that every time.
friend of the show, that's great.
Was it episode 36, I think he was on?
It's been so long.
Yeah, 36 or 35, so he's a great guest. every week he puts out a short, 2 to 3 minute video just with a weekly message. And usually he stands in front of an art piece. So if there's art pieces everywhere. This guy, usually a lot of them are reprints. They're not
I'm
the
waiting
original,
for the Van Gogh.
but he'll stand in front of an art piece and he'll use that art piece to express an idea or something. So he stood in front of the image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which is actually in St. Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne. So and if you've been there, you would have seen it. It's kind of off to the left-hand side of the altar. It's this giant one. And sometimes after Mass, some priests or bishops will actually go and say prayers in front of it, or lead us in the Hail Mary before they finish up Mass.
Finish up Mass,
Like we used to, we were part of that group where we used to go to adoration there.
It was the same deal. Wednesday night? Wednesday nights we used to go there?
Thursdays.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we go adoration and we go head out to dinner.
Yeah,
it was that 24-hour place, remember?
Yeah, 24-hour.
Remember we could do stuff like that?
Another world.
Yeah.
No, when we'd go down there, when was the last time we went there? And he was closed. He wasn't there anymore. So we're going, we're going to go now. Oh, we'll just go down the other side.
He was basically really, I mean, his message was just about compassion. And it's such an important word in our tradition. It's a word that I think people think sometimes we're trying to be too nice. They go, you're just doing all this nice stuff. You forget what Jesus really said. But compassion, and he reminded in this video, and this is something that's really important, he said it's made of two words. It's made of the word and I forgot what the Latin rest of it was.
Yeah, and
then passio, yeah. But the thing is, the com is to be with, and the passio, whatever it was to suffer. So it means to be with people who are suffering. So, and this is this is Catholic 101, but we know that when we talk about Christ's passion, it's Christ's suffering. So the passion narrative in the gospel, so the those last parts in the four gospels about his passion are about his suffering for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how we should show compassion for people who are suffering right now, suffer with them where we can, and also allow people to suffer with us too, which I thought was a really important thing to say. Because sometimes we try to put on the bravado, but actually, let your guard down a bit. We don't actually all have this bravado. So
exactly.
He was explaining this over Zoom to a class of high school students, the importance of compassion. So got to say as well, as a side note, he's rocking the facial hair at the moment.
It actually looks very good, have to say.
I feel a bit left out because everyone's growing ISO beards except me because my wife won't let me. So
I'm not making, but Phil's growing it a little bit. Our chief medical officer, he's sporting a nice little beard and a moustache now.
Lena, you got the facial hair there.
Like,
I know you're not growing an ISO beard.
It's just whiskers, man. There's no control in this thing. I need to shave it. And the problem is, like I told you guys, if I shave it, Bernie goes, "No, you're 10 years younger." I go, all right then. I'll just trim it. No, I can't grow a beard, guys. Sorry.
So anyway, that distraction aside, have you guys either had someone who's shared in a simple kind of way some compassion for you, or you've had some compassion on someone else in any loosely broadly kind of way of that? You can say no if you're not sure, but Caroline, have you had anything like that?
Just saying that, actually, I have a friend in the UK, he lives in England, and he will call me every now and then. Yeah. And he actually called me this morning, okay? And and usually I am the friend, most of my friends come to me and I always help them, okay? And I'm not the one that will go to someone for help. I just prefer to just go, look, I'll just deal with it, okay? I'm not very good at sharing my problems and whatever, but I am more than happy to help my friends. It's just how I am.
Yeah.
And this particular friend of mine, I've known for a very long time, probably like 20 years or so. And we've never actually met in person, which is weird, but we've been long time internet friends. And Phil went and met him actually last year when he had a show up in England. And, I said, oh, I'll get together. And they met and they became great friends. So
awesome.
But this friend this morning, he knows me so well, he said, Caroline, there's something up, you're not your usual self. I said, okay. I said, I'm fine. He's like, no, something's up, you need to talk to me. And I find it so difficult just to open up. But so he was showing compassion to me. Usually I'm the one going, come on, I'll help you, what's the problem? And then I'm giving advice all over the place and whatever. But no, this time he said, no, I can tell something's going on. And, I think he's right because, stage three lockdown was one thing. Like we got through it, it was fine, and it wasn't as restrictive as stage four. And actually going back to that article, the girl was saying, she's an introvert, she didn't mind it the first time around. And I had to agree. I was like, I don't mind this. I like being at home. I don't like really being with a lot of people and whatever. But, it turns out I actually am finding that I'm more social than I thought I was. I actually like to be with my, colleagues and friends and whatever else it is. And this time really missing it. So when he spotted that there was something, a little bit of spark was missing, he was actually really right. So, he was showing compassion to me, and he was saying, look, anytime you need to talk, please contact me.
Excellent.
And anytime, because he works from home, he said, just call me. And that's really sweet. And actually just knowing that somebody's there. you know, who's not part of my family because, you know, I guess our siblings probably whinge to each other all the time. But it's someone out of my family.
They're Maltese, Caroline.
We're not adverse to having a whinge. It's not the whinge. It's the actual feelings getting you. You know, that's a bit of the problem. So, you know, someone out of my family who was showing that love and compassion to me, even just that, you know, just really is comforting and you know, helped me feel it, actually cheered me up. So that was really lovely of him. So
that's brilliant. Lena, have you got anything? Have you shared in someone's suffering, like even in a mild way, or has someone, you know, reached out to you to see how you're going, anything like that?
Well, it seems about mostly at work, man. A lot of people come to work and talk to me. And I go, okay. And then I have a face or something. And then they go, I wanted to chat with you. And then, of course, they say, it's between you and I. And I go, oh, of course. Of course. Because, you know, you guys know that. And if you talk to me about something that you don't want to talk to other people about, hey, that's great. Because I'm not a gossiper. I got to tell you that now. I don't spread other people's what they said to other people. You know, it's like a confidant. Confidant. You know, like that. It's mostly at work. You know, you guys know your partners do talk to you about this person or that person or what happens going on in that sense too. But majority of it's just work.
Yeah, that's good though. It's so important because, you know, we underplay our role sometimes because if you think about it, if those people are able to like vent about some personal things at work and get it off their chest.
Yes, vent.
It means they can do their job. And it means that they have a job. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Yeah, like it could be that you are actually helping these people stay employed, like just by letting them have some time to, maybe they haven't got another place or another outlet to let those things out.
Exactly.
And Lena, you do have a friendly face. I think you have an approachable face. So I think that's the...
Hopefully not too much, man. I've got to go down to the street and go, can I talk to you? What?
Yeah. Lena, you couldn't look like a thug if you tried.
You know? No, you're too friendly, Lena.
With his masks on, maybe I'll be able to...
Maybe,
a
if you get the right one.
The looks you get when you're wearing a mask and then especially a beanie. Oh, my God, a mask.
I have to at work. And I go to the, what is it called? Petrol station. For my whatever I want to need. And again, look at me and go, okay, I'll take my beanie off. I'll take my mask down, just my the mask a little bit down. And I go, can I have this and this? I'll be good.
With the mask thing, when just before stage 4 lockdown, during the stage 3 lockdown, the teachers had to keep working ridiculously.
Yeah. Like,
there's my little opinion there.
Wow, that's it. Yeah,
so
man.
The situation we were in as teachers, just as a brief background was that 11 and 12 students were to keep coming to school because they were saying that transmission in schools is very low. I have opinions about that too, considering the students at my school are adults, all right? And then grade prep all the way through year 10 were remote learning. Now, my school's situation is unique because we're at a multi-campus school and at the campus I work at is the senior campus. So you can't have year 11s and 12s on the same campus because it's too many people and social distancing is impossible, right? So year 12s are on campus. With the teachers who are year 12 teachers. And so we all had to wear masks to school, like everyone. And when I was on the yard, I'd approach a student to say something and they thought I was telling them off because they couldn't see my face except for my eyes.
Yeah.
I've been trying to practice friendly eyes because I'd have to walk up
it's
and then like, someone would raise their hands and go, what? And I'd be like, no, I'm just talking to you. It's okay. I'm just saying hello and seeing how you are because I tried to make it my thing to go and talk to students when I'd be walking front office. You know, how are you today? How are you coping with your work? Is there anything you need? That kind of stuff. But they thought that I was, you know, they misread my eyes, I guess. I must have angry eyes when I'm wearing a mask or something. You know, like, I don't know.
Eyes.
Yeah, I wonder what angry eyes look like. Yeah, but it took a while for them to get used to just looking at people's eyes. They'd be like, what? What are you doing? I'm like, no, it's okay. It's not like, you know, it's not like I'm coming going, put your hands up. You know what I mean? It's like, so that the mask thing is quite... Yeah, that was quite strange, those social cues.
No, it's true. Even when I go for a walk around the block. So usually You know, I look at someone in the eye and I say, hi, how are you going? You know, just, and they would say hi back. And, you know, I don't know everybody around and I usually meet someone I don't know. And I just say, hello, how are you going? But now people kind of like, they dodge right around you, first
yes,
of all.
Yeah.
And then if they look at you in the eye, they look at you and then they put their head down and keep
yeah.
walking. And
yeah, poor yeah, things. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's yeah. very uncomfortable. And
yeah,
they
it
just,
is, it is.
There's no hello anymore. No one greets. Yeah. I have not had anyone greet me anymore. Like, and I thought,
wow.
oh, it's like, it, not only are we, okay, we're not spreading the disease to each other or whatever, but we're kind of this social, this whole normal social interaction's going out the window. I mean, the only
yeah.
people who say hello is when I go to the supermarket and there's the lady
yeah.
there waiting, you know, sitting at the hand sanitizing station.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah, yes.
And
yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
greets and I'll be like, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, but everyone else, like just the general public, no, everyone's
wow.
dodging each other and not
yeah.
saying hello. And I'm like, oh, I just feel, and because it's winter right now and I get very cold when I go for a walk. So I do put my beanie on. It happens to be black. My mum knitted me a black beanie. So I've got my black beanie on, my black coat. And my black mask on.
You're
and I'm
ninja.
Like, and then
you're
I took a selfie of myself.
Ninja, yeah.
yeah, I took a selfie. I'm like, oh, that's why I do not look approachable at all. And usually I'm quite friendly. It's like, this is really
yeah.
bad. It's like, I'm not enjoying this at all. I think
please don't walk up to anyone and say, stick them up by accident.
I was like, I cannot go into a... in a petrol
yeah.
station or a bank like this, you know, lucky I could get into it, get away with it at the supermarket. But,
yeah,
I mean, everybody's
true, yeah.
wearing masks, so it's all right. But I think I need to invest in something a bit more bright and colourful because
I
think I'm looking like, it's just my eyes like as well. And I'm not wearing makeup because it's not, you know, why should I every day? I'm at home and it's like, I'm just looking.
Yeah.
yeah.
Wow.
So I agree
wow.
with you, Lindsay, this whole...
Yeah,
mask
the mask thing, yeah, I think it's made people a bit uncomfortable
yeah.
in some ways anyway. Hopefully in time, like it's relatively new to us still. Now it's going to
yeah.
feel strange again when
yeah.
like when these restrictions are eased. I have no doubt we're going to have to keep wearing masks for a
long they
time
actually
now.
Mentioned that today in the daily
yeah.
briefing, like our
yeah,
masks
yeah.
are
wow.
going to be part of life even after
yeah,
stage
for a while.
4. So.
After
yeah.
even after COVID.
So I'm sure
yeah.
we'll mellow out. You know, like for, you know, I know that like there are lots of places in America that have been wearing masks for a lot longer than we have.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, they've got
yeah.
their COVID normal sorted out.
No,
in other
we're
places
still getting
around the
used
world,
to
so.
It. It's,
yeah, we're still
exactly.
we're in that transition. And you know, and while we're in stage 4, we're just going to be, yeah, we're just going to be uncomfortable for a while, I guess. So one thing I wanted to add as well in terms of reaching out, so compassion and so on, a friend of mine from high school, she lives in Western Australia and they're doing well. You know, they've got no cases. They're all sorted for now, at least. Hopefully it's, you know, I really hope it stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
We need at least one beacon of hope in this country right now. So,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
So
she's there and... We were talking over Facebook Messenger. We've got a group of our high school friends. There's like, you know, 4 or 5 of us. And we just, you know, every now and then we check in with each other and see how everyone's going. So she said, how about we have a Skype? You know, so last Sunday, there were 4 of us, the group of friends. We sat down, you know, some of us had our spouses and kids running around, you know, around in the background. And yeah, but, you know, I felt that compassion. I know I could tell that she was feeling... not sorry for us, but she was concerned about us because she, you know, like she grew up in Victoria. She's, you know, we went to high school together. You know, we're all really close friends. And then she moved to Western Australia for, you know, for professional work reasons and whatever, years ago. But yeah, that's the, you know, it was good for her to reach out, and see how we're going. I really appreciated that. It's just the, how are you going? Hope you guys are okay. You know,
cool.
I can imagine what it would be like for her sitting in Western Australia, thinking her, you know, the place where she grew up, the state that she lives in, you know, that she used to live in, what, you know, what it's like, and then the friends that, you know, that she has there, and how they're feeling. So it was good for that. The other thing I've done, and I'm not afraid to admit this, but I've actually picked up some counselling, you know, recently as well. And just
okay.
to cover myself, it's in this article too, so you can, so it's there. And for any Victorians who are, and probably Australians as well, who are who think they might need it, there is a link to Catholic Care's counselling service there as well. So
yep.
if you do need it. It took me a long, long, long time to get around to the point where I might just reach out to someone and get a bit of counselling. But the whole idea of counselling really for me was just to have, like you said, Caroline, another voice who I don't know well to talk to. And
exactly, exactly.
Yeah, and it wasn't even to unload everything. I wasn't looking to go, here's all my problems, you know, anything like that. But it was just to get another perspective on, you know, on everything, you know, because the general things that I talk about are, you know, my workload and, you know, how crazy it is, things like that, and the stresses that come up from work. Because I think work, I love my job. Don't get me wrong. I love my job. I love teaching. It's the job I'll do for the rest of my life, I think, as far as I know anyway. But, but you know, but it does have an element of, you know, of pressure that comes with it. And there's the usual pressure, the everyday pressure that you have. And then there's the COVID pressure that's on top of it. Exactly. And I know a lot of teachers are struggling at the moment, not just with the remote learning side of things. You know, that, you know, we had to adapt to that again very quickly. We had a very short turnaround. If you were a VCE teacher, you didn't have very long to cope and adapt all your notes for all that for VCE. But teachers generally are, you know, are struggling as well. So, you know, it was good that I could, you know, get that service and access it and have this person to talk to. And she's just this lovely lady who just happens to go to one of the Catholic parishes. It's 10 minutes from where I live that we made that connection.
Oh,
that
that's
she's
great.
Oh, well, yeah, cool.
So as a bonus, she's a Catholic counselor. So that was even better, I guess, you know, not that people are not Catholics aren't good counselors, but she could speak to me. But the point is she could engage with me on a spiritual level as well, I appreciated. And it's just been a conversation, you know, and I've really appreciated her compassion for me because she's reached out every now and then. She'll text me as well. She'll say, I hope you're okay. Hope everything's going well. Hope your family are well. You know, how's your wife and your sons going? You know, she asks on that level. And then she'll say, if you need another, you know, time to catch up, we can do that. So the first time we caught up was face to face because we were allowed to.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, you know, that was a while ago. And most recently, actually it was just like yesterday at time of recording, had to be FaceTime. So we were just talking for about 20 minutes over the phone. So that was was good. Nice. Now, just to shift, so in this article, we're talking about this article today pretty much, and there'll be some of the things that we said we want to talk about that can come out of this. She was saying here, so keep busy and maintain routine. That's really good for you as well.
Yes,
and she
definitely
has this anecdote. She said, in the early stages of lockdown, I formed a new relationship, and Caroline, you'll like this, I formed a new relationship with Gary, our resident, harmless in brackets. Yeah, Gary, the house spider. While he was an unexpected visitor, and despite the initial urge to get him out of the house now, we let him stay. And each day, we would follow his adventures playing Where's Wally to spot his new location on the wall. Such a small and seemingly mindless interaction resulted in appreciation and acceptance of something I may not have given much a thought to otherwise. See, my initial response is kill it with fire, but you know, she's obviously, you know, she's had a bit more of a constructive one. You know what? I'll say it freely. I've seen Lord of the Rings. I know what Shelob is like. I'm just any spider I imagine now. If I see a spider, I just think, what would it be like if it was 50 times bigger? Kill it with fire. Now, Caroline, I know that you are quite happy with any variety of spider in your house,
yeah,
I think.
I'm happy with it.
Go on.
Look, I love all of God's creatures, except for mosquitoes. They can all die. But everything has a place in the ecosystem. Yeah. That's what I say to myself. No, but no, I don't mind. And I've actually bonded with a spider before.
See, I knew it.
We named it
Sharon.
I knew
there'd be a spider friend in your house, yeah.
And I'm quite okay with them there. I know that if I ever huntsman him and the daddy long legs ones, I know that if they're in my house, they're protecting me from more poisonous or venomous spiders. So they do have a role. Please don't kill them. They're so beautiful.
I don't mind daddy long legs. I'm happy for him in the house.
Even
daddy long legs are not too bad.
Just a side note.
Yeah.
Is daddy long legs, is that an Australian thing or is that a worldwide? Would they know what we're talking about?
I think we call them.
That is a very good question.
What do they call?
But if you don't know what they are, they're like, they've got a kind of small, thin, long body with really tight,
really
long legs.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are okay with. To me, that's more weird than a big furry spider because a spider's supposed to be more substantial.
Sorry.
But look, you can see a furry spider like a little animal because they look furry and cute and eight eyes and eight legs. I mean, what's bad about that?
So much, Caroline. So much is bad about that.
We're going to have this debate all the time.
Yeah. You're trying to make spiders sound nice. I'm just not agreeing with you right now.
I can see our Facebook feed.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, look, I have said things on Facebook about spies before and got zero comments and likes. So
okay, here we go. Okay.
Can you get negative likes on Facebook for spider touch?
If you could, I would have got a lot. But yeah. I love anything. Look, they're all, to me, amazing. They all have a place in nature. Yes, and, you know, even snakes, even crocodiles, even slugs, they're all fascinating, you know.
And as most people would know, we have some very weird and wonderful creatures here in Australia.
We do. And actually,
most of them out to kill us, but then it's all right.
Yeah. And, like, with my chickens now, okay, you all know I have chickens by now. Mm-hmm. So, like, Booster and Spike have made friends with the local native birds, because obviously now, I leave them some food. I like to give my chickens, you know, maybe they'll have some leftover dinner, or I'll give them some fruits and veggies and stuff. Cool. And the locals love it. So that I'm seeing all these birds that I didn't even know were in our neighborhood before. And they're so brave. They come down. There's these two butcher birds. Australians might know about them. They look like sort of like a little kookaburra cross with a magpie type thing. They've got the most beautiful sound. They're called butcher birds because they like to hang their prey on trees.
But
there's
Australia.
And
horror.
Actually, one, I had a dead mouse in the garden yesterday. One came and grabbed it and flew off with it. But anyway, they do have the most beautiful sound, and I know they live across the road in the trees there because I hear them.
During lockdown, that swoop at people during the day.
Yes, and I have two possum friends that I've met during the night as well, and. You know, so I'm actually inviting, at least it's not vermin, except for that one mouse, but, you know, I've kind of got a community of, I feel like, was it St. Francis?
You should go out and preach to the animals.
Yes, I do talk to them. I don't know if they listen. I think they just think I'm strange, but.
Dr. Doolittle, maybe?
No, maybe. Maybe. Or even Snow. Was it Snow White with all the birds?
You
should go and read the gospel to them.
Yeah. Yes.
Actually, just don't read anything about Passover to them. It should be okay.
But anyway, that's been fun. So, I've been making friends with the local animals and stuff. Keeping busy, Lindsay, you mentioned keeping busy and keeping routine. If I may go on a little bit
more.
Go ahead. And then I'll let you guys talk. So I agree. Keeping a routine is very important. So I've still been waking up. I still work 3 days a week from home. So I've been doing that. And the kids have kept their routine with school. So the days I'm not working, he'll help Harry with school, but Harry will still come to me, so I'll help him a bit. And then Frankie's doing his work next to me. And I've just rediscovered an old hobby I had ages ago, making beaded jewellery. So I've decided I went and opened an Etsy shop.
Well done.
And I've been having so much fun. They're just like beads and glass necklaces and stuff, which I actually sold 7. I'm really happy. Up to now, I sold 7. I actually made a friend through it, so we've actually been kept talking.
Very good.
He's up in Queensland, and we've been chatting all the time. And he keeps every now and then buys something, and he's requested. So it's really cool. It's funny the avenues that you can meet people, and so. I'm not plugging. Okay, I'm going to plug. I'm going to say it.
Let's plug it. Come on.
It's called Colour Cheek. Anyone else would say Colour Chic, but because I got chickens, I say Cheek. Chique. it's on Etsy if you're interested. If not, doesn't matter. But for me, it's fun. It's more of a creative outlet. So that's been really fun. And, I bead just about every day. And it really helps because, we can't go anywhere. So having that kind of creative outlet when I'm not working or, teaching the kids or cooking dinner or whatever else I'm doing, I have something that, it kind of gives me a little bit of a goal, you know, like, you know, make this and put it on. It feels like I'm doing something for myself, which I'm really enjoying. Any of you guys, you know, have any of the same kind of, I don't know, if it, has anyone discovered something new or met any new animals or realized something in their immediate community or their little garden, or I don't know, like, it'd be interesting to hear if any of you have.
Are you still painting like Warhammer models, or have you?
Well, that's it. Like Caroline said about hobbies, you know, it's two sides of the story. You know, people call you they say you got a hobby. You go, oh, you're a nerd. You're this. You're that. Yeah. And I go, look, hobbies are great to have. And like Caroline said, it keeps you active, and it takes your mind off other things. As well, it doesn't matter what kind of hobby it is, like, you know, making jewelry, building things, making things, you know, carpentry, whichever it is, anything that's sort of outside of what you do normally, and that's a hobby, you know. And for myself, I'm still doing my Warhammer, but it's been, I'm a bit lazier lately. Maybe it's because of a certain game called COD has been taking my life.
That's been your go-to.
It has been, sadly. But, that's the thing, because when you're doing those sort of hobbies and anything, your mind is it's focused on this besides other things.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying don't focus on your family. You know, you got your kids hanging around, running around. Hey, wait, don't stop that. You know, it's something that it relaxes to you.
Yeah.
And also it's a great thing. Here, I'm going to plug it, you know. While you're doing hobbies, you can listen to a podcast. What kind of podcast would you like to
listen
to?
I wonder what podcast would be great to listen to while you're doing hobbies.
Which one do you want to... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that, you know, that's kind of...
Alex and Buzz. Yep.
So, you know, so that's what I mean. And with this ISO and everything, we're trying to find a schedule and what to do.
Yeah.
You know, trying to find a routine. Hobbies are great in that sort of sense, you know what I mean? And try it out, guys. You know, it doesn't matter which one it is. Like Bernadette's got two. I think.
Yep.
Well, so you guys know about her 18,000 piece jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, tell us about this. Tell us the story, the saga. Oh,
okay, so quickly, because we're almost, the time. She did it.
Yep.
It took her 9 months.
Wow. Yep.
And when she came to the end of it, I don't know if you know this about Caroline, but when she was putting it together, one of the quadrants didn't fit.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep. So for one side, so one side of the quadrant didn't fit to the other side.
Oh, my gosh.
And the only way to fit it is to lift it up a bit.
No.
But then you have a gap right in the middle.
No.
Sorry for guys who are listening and trying to figure it out. Trying to visualize this.
I can see your hands moving, but no one else can.
And that's taken almost 2 months now, and she's got a response from the company, because I'm not going to tell who the company is, because I'll be in trouble. They're going to either give her the same puzzle again, or she can choose another 18,000 piece puzzle. Now, it depends. And what she was thinking of doing with the one she's done is, it's great. Okay, I was about to tear up a little bit, but she wanted to donate that to my dad's nursing home.
Yeah,
you
know,
guys were talking about that, about nursing homes and everything like that too.
That's
and
awesome.
Donate that. But what we'd have to do is we have to make the puzzle, but look like you're looking through a window. You know what I mean?
Clever.
So it's not together, but either put in the window or put them separately in quadrants all along the place, so people go, okay, that looks so good.
Yeah,
wait
clever.
A minute, is that connected?
No.
So that's sort of thing. But I'll go back to the subject of hobbies.
That's good.
It helps you guys, trust me, you know. It helps you just to concentrate on things besides what's going on, and trust me, if you're doing it, you look at the time and go, ooh, what happened to the time?
Yeah,
it's gone.
You do.
It just flies. It flies, and it just makes you feel good. Makes you feel good. I don't know. Sure, Lizzie, did you have a hobby? I forgot that. I was always asked you about that, man.
So, I've struggled with hobbies because when I'm not teaching, I'm also doing my master's degree.
Yeah,
I've got a family that's hard. Having said that, though. Recently, I've been reading for I've got two essays to write, 3,500 words each, unfortunately. Ooh. Having said that, though, I've got plenty of time to do them. But having said that, I'm actually kind of enjoying the preparation because they're both biblical studies essays. So one is on the book of Exodus and one is on, I haven't made a decision yet, but I have to either write about the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. And because I love learning about the Bible, I have to read these, scholarly texts about it. I'm actually really enjoying it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Sometimes when you study, it can be so laborious and difficult. You know, like the previous subject I did was about, it was about mission and leadership in Catholic schools. And the content was great. I learned so much, but it's dry as well. Leadership theory, whatever. You have to get through a lot of dry writing, to get to where you need to.
It's a core subject.
I'm better for it. I'm so much better for that subject. But in terms of interest, I'm getting all these spiritual kicks out of what I'm reading at the same time and preparing for. So I'm loving it. We were looking at the Gospel of Mark this week and all over Zoom, these Zoom lessons we've been doing with the lecturers. But the priest, Father Francis Otobo is his name, he went through the Gospel of Mark and he said, when you read the Gospel of Mark, I want you to think about this question. Why are Christians calling a man who was crucified as a criminal and then, and executed on a cross, why are they calling him Messiah, the Savior? Because he's saying that Mark's gospel was likely written in Rome for a Roman audience at about the time, now that scholars kind of argue about this, was it just before AD 70 when the temple was destroyed or a little bit after AD 70 when the temple was destroyed? Because there was the Jewish war where the Romans, the Jews rebelled against the Romans and the Romans just came in and wiped everyone out. Not everyone, but they did a lot of terrible things, including destroying the temple, which was the center of the Jewish faith. And the Christian faith, for a long time, the Christians, practice as Jews, except they pray to Jesus as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And so you've got an audience in Rome of Gentiles who, don't understand, the whole Jewish side of things. But you've also got a Jewish audience of Christians who understand the Jewish scriptures, but their concept of Messiah is different to everyone else's, their concept of Messiah. So we know that they were expecting a Messiah who would come and get rid of the oppression of Roman rule and establish a throne right there in Jerusalem and create this kingdom of God on earth, where everyone's happy and whatever. But that's not what Jesus was on about. It doesn't make sense to Gentiles or to Jews that a Savior came and died and suffered for people. It makes sense more to people that this Savior comes and establishes a reign, an eternal reign of God. Some interesting things. In Mark's gospel, it's mysterious and strange because Jesus performs a miracle and says, don't tell anyone about it. He heals a leper and says, don't tell anyone. And the leper obviously goes and tells people, And there's a lot of this. And then Peter, one stage says to Peter, who do they say I am? And they say, oh, people think you're Elijah. Who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, etc. And Jesus says, don't tell anyone about it. And then Jesus says, but, the Messiah now has, will have to go and die. And Peter's like, no, because Peter, as well as expecting an earthly Messiah, who will, and that's when Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. It's like, if this is what you believe, you're against the plan of God, what God has set up. I'm raving about this. I'll finish quickly now.
No, do it. It's good.
When Jesus is on trial, they're saying, who do you say you are? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus is like, he's being evasive. He's not answering. And they keep hammering that question, are you the Son of God, that you claim to be? And Jesus finally says, yes, I'm the Son of God. You will see me coming on the clouds at the right hand of the Father. And they're like, no, blasphemy. You can't say this. This is punishable by death kind of stuff. They were looking for a reason to kill him. And if he said he was God, they could, by their own laws, they could have him killed. There's this whole kangaroo court of a trial going on. And so here he is admitting, here I am, God, in your midst, and he's rejected by his own people. He's Mark portrays Jesus being misunderstood by the apostles, misunderstood by his own family. Different expectations about what he'll do, except the expectation that he'll die on the cross. And then the climax of the story, I get chills. It is so powerful and beautiful. And I love this. Jesus dies on the cross, and the witness who admits that his God is a Roman centurion. Mm-hmm. He says, truly, this was the Son of God. Oh my gosh. Talking about getting teary. It is so beautiful.
Exactly.
And then in the kind of the resolution of it, you know, Jesus is buried in the tomb and all that. The women go to the tomb to anoint his body. Now, keep in mind, his body was actually anointed already before he died. So I think it was Mary Magdalene who comes with a jar, an expensive jar of ointment. She smashes the jar and anoints his body with oil, like anointing for death. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
She doesn't keep the jar, you know, she smashes it. The whole point when she breaks the jar is that she gives everything. And it's exactly. the lesson for people reading is that an apostle gives everything. And then Jesus gives everything on the cross as well. So they go to the tomb. They on the way, the question is, who's going to help us roll away the stone? So they're not expecting, you know, they're still not understanding that there's a resurrected Christ. You know, they're still not getting this idea. Now, this is all deliberate by Mark, the way he's put the story together, okay? Because the other gospel accounts have different things. So he's got a particular message. He's trying to answer the question, why would it be that we say that the Messiah is someone who died? You know, he's getting that question out there. So they go to the tomb. The stone is rolled back. There's a person, you know, all dressed in white. We assume it's an angel who tells them, now, you know, he's risen from the dead. You know, this is great. Go to Galilee, tell the others. And the gospel ends with them running away in amazement and terror, I think the words were, and it says they said nothing to anyone, right? So this is Mark 16:8, where the ending of the gospel actually is. There's some added stuff, you know, because of Luke and Matthew come along and they tell their own versions of Mark's gospel, because there's material for Mark in Matthew and Luke as well.
Gotcha.
But really, sources say that that 16:8 is where the gospel probably ends, either because Mark didn't have time to write it or something happened. And some say, no, this is a deliberate ending for a reason. So when they run away in amazement and fear, which is now we know that that Jesus meets the apostles in Galilee.
Apostles in Galilee. Yeah.
Yep. You've seen the film, isn't it? you know, we know he does meet them. So why does he end it with this? And what it says is, it's a challenge for the reader, because Mark says at the beginning in verse 1, the story of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, the Son of God. So he identifies, this is Jesus, this is the Messiah. And so now we go right to the very end with how it ends. And the question is, after everything you've read about, will you now believe and accept that Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one that we were waiting for? And if you do, will you now give everything for it? So we're left to decide, what will we accept now that we've read it? It's such a powerful gospel. It's only 16 sense. Chapters. Yeah. It's the shortest gospel, and there's so much going on in there. So this is what's been occupying my time, is learning this stuff. Yeah.
That's great, Lindsay.
Oh, wow.
I enjoy listening to that. Obviously got a lot out of it.
Yeah, and look, scholars, you know, argue, you know, over interpretation. This is one interpretation, you know, but I think it's powerful. And I would accept the other interpretations that are valid. I accept, obviously, the church's interpretation, you know, with the Eucharistic overtones and everything, all important stuff. But just that literary reading as literature on its own, and saying, what was Mark saying to the people that he was writing to in Rome? Really powerful stuff. So that's some of that.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to go a little bit over time if that's all right today, because we just had one or two more things to talk about. Are you guys all right to go for another 10 minutes if that's all right?
Yeah. All right, 10 minutes. Right. Okay.
Luckily, there's a pause button for people if they need it.
Go make yourself a coffee now, and then come back and listen to the last bit, or just listen while you're making your coffee. So just very briefly, Caroline, you've been doing some, as another thing that you've been doing is you've been doing some science experiments with your kids. This is wonderful. So give us a brief rundown of what you've been doing.
Okay. So I haven't looked up any amazing science topics this week, so I've kept it at home. Okay.
Yep.
So as part of teaching, helping, you know, to teach Harry, they have a subject in school called specialist, and they'll do a certain subject, and they've been doing a couple of science experiments. So call it at home science this week.
cool.
Or science with Harry. I told him if he wanted to come on the podcast, but he's very shy. So
science with Harry. That's a great topic.
Yep.
Yes,
and
he loves doing these experiments. Okay, yeah. So the first one was making a wind sock. Now it was kind of to help kids understand that, you know, wind is in different directions. They've been doing a topic of weather, okay? Nice. I mean, these are six-year-olds, five, six-year-olds, so it's very basic. So
we never did that.
No.
We never did that.
How advanced is that? These days is much more advanced than when we did it. Okay? I remember just drawing and stuff.
Just
but
drawing.
No, they have to fully, like, write words and do maths and sentences and stuff. And Harry, the part of the challenge is Harry's like not completely ready, you know, for that stuff. He doesn't want to write, doesn't want to read. He'll get there. He's slowly getting there. But
sounds like an engineering course.
You should see what Frankie's doing, and he's 8 years old. So that's for another day.
But he's already got a nuclear reactor, you know.
Well, yeah, Frankie could, but anyway. Yeah. So, you know, but Harry enjoys the experiments. So what we did, we got a plastic a milk carton, and we cut the hole out of one side. So you've got the lid side. We kept the lid side. Oh, no, it took the lid off. The idea was that wind could go through. And then we tied ribbons to the side where we cut the bottom off. And then we went outside, and luckily it was a windy day, and Harry got to see that when you hold up the milk carton, the ribbon would go in a certain way, so that would show the direction of the wind and the strength of the wind. So he got to learn about direction and strength of the wind, which he thought was really cool.
Sailing.
Cool. You know, we had to go in the backyard, see what the wind direction and strength was there when the front yard, and then, you know, on the front, very front footpath, you know, just different areas to see how the wind behaved in different areas. And then we wrote a little report, you know, you know, took photos, and he got to draw himself and whatever. So, you know, that was a fun investigation for him.
So good.
The second experiment, I actually enjoyed. I've never done it before. Probably everyone else in the world has, but it's pretty good. So what it was about how rain is formed, and we got to make rain in a jar. Okay.
Oh, what?
So, yeah, cool. It was very cool.
Oh, wow, cool.
I reckon you should do it. It's really fun.
It's raining in the jar.
Yeah. So I got an empty jar. It was just one of those preserving jars. So it was, you know, I think a nice biggish jar is really good for this one. So get the jar, like maybe half fill it with hot boiling water. Then on the top of the jar, get a metal plate or a bowl or something. I just got one of the cat bowls and cleaned it out. So I put that on top and then put ice. So what you start to see is like a convection of the, you know, you see the steam going up, and then once it hits the cold air from the ice, it cools down.
Exactly.
The steam or whatever falls down, and it looks like, sort of looks like rain. You know how you see rain on the surface of water sometimes? Like the steam was going down on the surface of the water. So it would rise up and then fall down again, and rise up and fall down. And then you obviously get the condensation on the side of the jar. So, and Harry thought that was amazing. Like, he was really looking at, whoa, this is really cool. And, you know, all of us were, even my husband, we were like, wow, that's really cool. We did it a couple of times because it was really cool. We got to see the steam going up, forming like a cloud, and then it kind of falling down again, you know, being cold and forming rain. And that was really fun. So so that was our science. And
well done.
One more thing is that Harry just happened to come and talk to me. It was a sunny day, and he goes, "Mummy, what is the sun? You know, what's the sun look like?" And I'm like, "Oh, Harry, do you know?" And he's like, "No, can you show me?" I said, "Okay." And I said, "Harry, do you know that the sun is actually bigger than the earth?" And he's like, "What?" Because, you know, he sees it in the sky and it's small, you know, it's a small circle.
Exactly.
I said, okay, let's Google it. So I Googled it and I said, "Harry, look at this." And he saw a big picture. Oh, you know how you saw it? Because my computer screen for work, the background is the sun, and it's like the fireball and the flares and everything. And he's like, "Whoa, look at that fire." I said, "Oh, that's the sun." Yeah, that's how it happened.
Wow.
And then I said, "Do you know it's bigger than the earth and everything?" He's like, "No,
definitely.
No. Okay, let's Google this. I'll show you. And I showed him a picture of the sun, and just like a comparison map the sun with all the planets. Like, look, there's Earth over there. It's like, what? You know, in Harry's, what? His little voice. So, yeah, so, he, you know, at a very basic level, he got to learn, you know, the sun is bigger than the Earth, and bigger it's a big fireball and plasma exactly. and all the rest. And so, yeah,
exactly.
That was my science for the week. It was, you know, it's very good.
I think it's a documentary series on... I think it's called The Universe, and I think the first episode is about the sun, and they go through that science.
All right.
But also, I think you've seen this already, Caroline. We talked about it. National Geographic on Disney Plus has that. It's about the Parker Solar Probe.
Oh yes, that's a really good one.
And that's a great documentary, but they do lots of sun science in there too. Yes, like really accessible. Yeah.
Cool. No, that's all cool.
So
stuff.
Good. So, well done. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, there's a bit of home science for you.
Yeah, well, if anyone who's listening has done some home science, you know, let us know too. We, you know, if Caroline needs
ideas.
Hopefully
not too dangerous home science. Yeah. Not too dangerous, guys, please.
Yeah. And Caroline, give us a science, you know, kid science. We're not, like kid I said, don't build a nuclear reactor in your lab.
I like one of the Mysterious World episodes where that boy was collecting all the radioactive material from smoke alarms and doing experiments and trying to create a nuclear reactor. Oh my god,
that's right. And I think it was Stargate Atlantis. Rodney McKay. He said he built one when he was in high school. He's really smart guy. He's like,
Anyway.
Cool, yeah, all right. And Caroline, send us the link to your Etsy store as well. We'll put that online if people want beads.
Have a nose. I forgot,
I had a good name for your store after you already named it. I forgot what it was now.
Helped me name it.
It's
very hard to name an Etsy store if anyone else has opened one up. It's like the hardest part of it.
I was really upset because after you'd named it and got it all set up, I had a really good name.
Really good.
Anyway, when I remember,
I know, but you can only change name a certain number of times.
Yeah,
and,
don't change it. No, really
no.
And I'd already done this
true.
Cool graphic. I did a graphic of a chicken. It's like,
awesome.
That's right.
Awesome.
It's funny. Anyway, I was just talking about my
chicken. Super briefly, let's just talk about what we have been watching on TV and streaming, whatever else, because I want to share how excited about this awesome one.
Yeah,
so Amazon Prime has this great – did you get a chance to watch it, Caroline, yet? Or
no.
The one I'm about? All right.
I've
all good.
Hardly had time to watch that much. That's and right. you will hear why. You'll hear what I've been watching.
When you do find some time – this was a late night thing for me. That was the only time I had to watch it as well. I thought I'd just get the first 10 minutes of it and see if any good. It's a documentary movie called Apollo 11.
And of course I watched.
Oh, you did watch it? All right, cool. It's about the Apollo 11 launch. And what happened was this came out last year, so it's very recent. The filmmaker went and he was given access to the archives of NASA's unseen footage of the Saturn V launch and the moon landing, so whatever NASA had. So he got this footage, the unseen footage, and he put together a documentary, documentary without voiceover, right, of the Saturn V's mission to the moon and then the astronauts coming back again. And what is so cool is, like, you know, they've clearly updated it so that the color is, you know, clearer, the camera's not shaky, you know, it's all that. And some of the footage is just mind-blowingly amazing. The way it's narrated is basically it's just the voices of the different people talking. So it's mission control talking to the astronauts and the astronauts talking back. So you're almost kind of like with them on the journey. And the thing is they put music at key like tense moments. So when the rocket takes off, there's music. It's almost like the film Interstellar when there are key moments. They've got this kind of synth music over the top. but it enhances the experience so much. The rocket launch, the moon landing, and the return to Earth are like three key tense and amazingly wonderful moments. And the way they do it, it's so good. The launch itself, I don't know how they got the footage. I'm assuming there must have been like a plane or something in the air with a long distance like lens camera. But the close-up of the rocket as it's in the air and the stage separation was just mind-blowing, like absolutely. And this is from 1969. So, you know, this is we've seen rocket launches are a dime a dozen. We see them all the time now. This was just inspiringly, you know, beautiful to watch. This documentary, this movie was so good that I watched it again. So much I loved it. Seriously, it's so great. And I recommend it. So it's Apollo 11 on Amazon Prime, or if you can access it somewhere else. I don't know if the other streaming services around the world have it, but I strongly recommend it. It is It is mind-blowingly beautiful to watch. And I told a friend from work to watch it, and he did, and he loved it too. Like, that's, you know, how good it is.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's my recommendation. Very briefly, I started watching a police series called Bosch. I've actually don't watch crime series very much, but it's a crime series set in LA. It's gritty. It's really good, but you need a strong stomach to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't glorify, you know, like some of the things that you see. It's, you know, but criminals are disturbing. That's the, you know, it goes with that. So if anyone's into crime series, go ahead, watch it. I saw season one. It was a satisfying story. I enjoyed it. I'll see how season two goes now, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Goes. Caroline, briefly, anything you've been watching recently?
I guess, I'm not. Why do you ask me what I'm watching? It's
sorry.
So
are you still watching, what was the, was it Rose?
Still watching Rosehaven, which is
Rosehaven,
awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a good comedic series.
Yeah.
If I have to really admit to you, I've been watching Farmer Wants a Wife.
Oh boy.
Oh.
It ends on Sunday. I get to see who the farmers decide they're gonna marry.
okay,
one redeeming thing. It's not strictly a something you can go and watch, but I watched a few documentaries on Rome, and okay, I watched Motorway Patrol, watched Border Patrol.
Excuse me, you mean pulled over for?
Yeah.
Is that the New Zealand one or
the New Zealand
one?
The Australian
one.
That's
Police 10-7, isn't it?
Canadian one, Police 10-7. Yeah, there's so many different ones of them. I love Border Patrol because I miss flying, and so I get to see all the people getting caught carrying food in from different countries.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Different countries. In the trouble for bringing it in. Yeah. It's always declaring.
Yeah.
People, declare.
Yeah, declare. Well, yeah, especially
so
when you come to Australia. Yes.
And New Zealand.
Our rules, when you can, when you can come to Australia, that declaration card is not a decoration. Yeah. You fill that thing in or you're going to get fined.
It's not a
decoration.
Fined. It's a declaration.
Yeah.
I like
it. And don't lie because... They check your bags in Australia.
That's right.
You will get caught.
And
yeah,
they don't necessarily fine you if you've declared it. So anyway,
exactly.
So anyway, besides that, we're never going to fly again. So why are we talking about it? The other thing is, our local council have been putting on a web series, webinar series on biodiversity and environment and your garden. And the last one I watched was about how to attract birds into your garden, which I'm done successfully, just get chickens. But anyway.
Chickens, yeah, exactly.
But you want to create a nice habitat for them with different vegetation and all of that.
Cool.
And this time I caught the how to attract frogs to your garden.
Ooh.
And these series are great because not only do they, you know, explain that kind of thing to you, but they also tell you about the local species in your area and how to identify them and all that, and then how to make your garden friendly for them, how, you know, talking about not using pesticides, insecticides and all of that, and if you need to just use kind of natural organic stuff like fertilizer, you know, if you can just compost the mulch. I've been making my own liquid fertilizer, which is pretty cool, just from my compost bin.
Cool.
So, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just been, you know, I've always been interested in environment and biodiversity. It's just part of my nature/science interests. But so I think those have been very interesting. They've got a few more webinars coming up.
Very
so
cool.
I have redeemed myself.
Yes, that's much better. And you will know that you've succeeded if one morning you find a giant green frog with a banjo sitting on your fence singing Rainbow Connection. You'll know.
I'm not sure what I'd think if I saw that, but anyway, I think I'd been, I don't know, sniffing too much fertilizer. I don't know. But
That's right. Or there could be other issues. Yeah, that's true.
If I had real frogs, that would be amazing. But I think my cats and chickens would actually eat them before they could get
any.
There's a lot of takeaway messages from it. You know, like, I'm trying to keep your garden as organic as possible.
Yeah,
and also, I have heard some native, you know, local frogs in our local parks and things, so it's made me more aware. And there's actually an app they've said that you can download, and it's got different frog sounds on it, so, you know, and it's like a citizen science project. So if you hold up your phone near the frog and it will log it, and you just say where you are and stuff. So
wow.
And I'm sure
there's
bird ones and, you know, all that kind of thing. So if you want it, I can tell you what they're. They're from Melbourne Water, I think, the frog one.
But well, let's put it in the show notes for anyone who's local who's listening. Yeah.
And there's I think
has it got Rainbow Connection on it as well?
Yeah, that's the startup.
That's a frog sound, isn't it?
I don't think Kermit's voice is actually. Anyway.
Or just Kermit the Frog doing that news report on Sesame Street. Really.
Yeah. Kermit the Frog reporting.
Oh, we have to bring it down, God. Really. But anyway, as lovely as Kermit is. Yeah. So thanks, Lizzie.
That's all right. Sorry. Totally sorry. I think of frogs. I just think of Muppets now.
Look, I didn't realize how many frog species we actually have in our area. Mm. There's quite a lot of them. Wow. And I've just enjoyed learning about, you know, there's so many species around us of everything, including spiders, that it's just good to try and be harmonious as possible and kind of inviting them into your garden and world just by making a more friendly garden or whatever area you have. And you'll be surprised what you can attract, you know.
Yeah.
In your area. So, and another thing they said, sorry, I'm going on, but like take your little area, not just your little area, but the whole neighborhood as like an ecosystem, because like you've got large trees, small trees, shrubs. The birds don't care about the borders. They just care about like the whole area.
Whole area.
And same with all the animals. So,
exactly.
Very cool.
So there you go. That was good.
Well, why don't we maybe take some photos of things that we've been talking about today? So, Lynn, if you want to get, if you don't mind your puzzles and Warhammer cabinet, if you want to, and Caroline, if there's anything in your backyard that you want to share, you know, maybe we can put those on our Facebook
page.
Anything. Yeah. I guess all I can do is a photo of the Bible. I don't know.
Which is a good photo. Yeah. No, I think you need to go in your backyard and just sit there for a little while, have a break, Lindsay, and you can have a listen to all the birds and things that you've got in your area.
Yeah. And train line out the back, but
definitely.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You guys are saying about all the animals. I've noticed that a lot of them are more out there now.
They are.
Did you see a couple of days ago on the news in Hallam, which is near us, about a group of horses just trotting down the street?
Are you serious?
Did you see that? Oh, no. Okay.
Random horses.
They must have just jumped the paddock and just ran around.
Because you're not allowed to feed them after curfew now. So they come out looking for you.
Yeah.
The horses are going out for takeaway. Yeah. So,
they're doing a Macca's run,
Macca's run. So what happens is now, you see it on the news, like all these animals are coming out. I mean, coming into the suburbs, into cities.
Okay, well.
Because sort of curfews and everything. It looks pretty cool.
Caroline, you need to watch the video on how to attract horses to your backyard then as well.
Oh, no.
I would love to get attract a horse. I keep saying I want a goat, but we're not allowed in our council area to get a goat. So.
Forget the frogs. I want to see you wake up one day and look out your kitchen window and then the horse just looks back going,
I would be the happiest Wilbur. Girl in the world.
Or don't like it.
10 points for our listeners who can guess where that's from.
Yeah, if anyone knows where that comes from, you get 10 points.
Anyway,
all right. And very briefly, Lido, you're still watching Star Trek Enterprise. That's what we talked about. You're up to which season? You're up to now?
We're up to the last season now. And the third episode. So they've done what they needed to do in the other season.
Yep.
So it's good. Very good. When I told Bernie that, she goes, really? I go, they only made 4 seasons. She was really getting into it.
It grows on you from somewhere in season 2, season 3 for sure. And then your heart's in it by season 4 and then gone. That's it. It's like, I had heartache when it finished. Yeah.
Don't watch Farmer Wants a Wife then. You'll be devastated. But anyway.
Yeah. Well I'd be devastated just watching it. So.
Well, I have to admit, I watched the first episode of The Bachelor.
Yeah. No, look, see, I can't even go there.
Okay, here we go. Okay, sorry, listeners, we're going to have a little bit of a battle with The Bachelor and who wants to
Is this Australian Bachelor? Or?
Yeah, this is Australian Bachelor. Bachelor used to be in Australian Survivor.
Oh,
so his name's Lockie. So I didn't mind Lockie in Australian Survivor. I watched a little bit of that and then Yes. I just only watched the first episode of The Bachelor. I wanted to see the intro of the ladies coming in.
Oh, I see.
And who's just crazy and who's all that. And I go, okay, I've got it. I'm good.
They should just combine, they should just combine all these reality shows together and just have like Bachelor Farmer Chef or something. I don't know. Like, just
that'd be interesting.
Man, I wouldn't be surprised if another country's done a reality show like that.
Look, any country that's got a rural setting can do Farmer Wants a Wife.
There's one more show I should mention that we watch as a family every night. It's called Letters and Numbers. I think I've texted you about it.
It's a quiz show,
On SBS.
Letters and Numbers, is that on ABC?
SBS,
you've got to watch it.
Sorry. Okay. I've heard of it.
It sounds like a really nerdy show.
It's nerdy, yeah.
But it's so good to watch. It's really fun because they have these word and number puzzles.
Yeah.
And you find you're all getting into it together.
It's really relaxing, yeah.
It's really good. And you win a dictionary. I mean.
Yeah. Yes. How nerdy is it? The grand prize is a dictionary. It's a giant Macquarie dictionary.
Yeah, exactly. It's a physical, guys. Yeah. It's not an app.
It's a proper Macquarie dictionary. It's a proper
Macquarie dictionary. Yeah. Yes. I've heard of it.
The real
deal.
If
your word's not in there, it's not real. That's what I've learned. So,
yes. I love the host's awkward humor.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah. All the jokes look. That's the best part. But that's really fun. So yeah.
And those episodes are reruns from years ago too, but they're still so compelling.
But still compelling.
Yeah. I watched one earlier this year, and it was New Year's Eve 2012.
Oh, yeah. They did the Father's Day one this weekend. It's like, no, Father's Day is not for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Father's Day, a couple of weeks? Whoa.
Yeah. Yes. Everyone in Australia. The 6th of September, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Just like that?
Yeah.
Just gone.
Anyways.
All right. One more thing we want to talk about, and something we are grateful for, is we had some listener feedback. So sorry to Sarah Perkins, who's posted on Instagram for us, which was lovely. And now this was in response to a previous episode. I think it was the last one where we talked about walking. So and Lino had the article on correct ways to walk, which was a great discussion. So Sarah, two things she posted for us. So the first one on Instagram, and Sarah, I got to say, thank you so much. We are so grateful for feedback like this, and especially what you said. So I'm just going to read the post briefly. So I injured my shoulder, discovered a neck problem over a year ago. My doctor told me home physical therapy would be the Bible for getting better. Having cerebral palsy meant that I've had countless home PT programs over the years, but I haven't stuck to a single one until now. As of this morning, I've done my home exercises as instructed for a year. I haven't missed a day. Firstly, more power to you. Well done for that. We're so happy for you. This is the part that really made me happy, though, and all of us. There have been nights where I've almost forgotten to stretch before going to bed, and that's where the family part comes in. I've put on a podcast, usually Catholics of Oz. Yay! Catholics often talk about the family they're part of by being Catholic, like being able to go to any mass in the world and knowing what's going on. I couldn't be more thankful for my Catholic family, particularly during weirder moments like doing shoulder exercises during the dark at 2 a.m. So, thank you so much for that, Sarah. For, you know, we always mention that this podcast, you know, we want to reach more people and get to know them. You know, that Catholic family thing, yeah, we feel it. I mean, you know, we're here in Australia. I think you're in a part of the United States. None of us, Caroline's actually been to the United States, but none of us know the United States very well. But to say that there's, you know, that there's a Catholic we've connected with the United States, I can't tell you how happy that makes us. So thank you so much for taking the time to write that. It just means, I can't even put into words how much it means to us that you've, you know, taken the time to post this. We're so happy for you that you're continuing your exercises. That is such an important thing to do. So again, more power to you for that. And, you know, I feel so grateful. We feel so grateful that we can just be part of that journey by having a podcast for you to listen to and sometimes overtime like it is today. So, having a podcast where we can accompany you with that. So, so thank you. And then she wanted to write an email as well to follow up. So, you know, she was saying her brain was screaming when Lino was talking about the heel toe thing. So, you know, that part of that, you know, that's okay. Yeah. Because that was part of, you know, some of her physiotherapy as well. But she has a book recommendation. So I wanted to throw this out to everyone as well. So that we could sort of connect with her experience a little bit more. So she wrote here, I wanted to recommend a book to you. It's called Someone Like Me by John W. Quinn. It talks about how John learned to walk, similar to a lot of us, and then went on to join the United States Navy while keeping his disability a secret. So imagine having to think heel toe while being in the military. And then she said, this is all I'll say about shoes. No, you can't just throw them on your feet and get away with
That's
it.
Right.
The only difference is that non-disabled people can get away with it for a little bit longer. So
That's correct.
So thank you so much. Yeah, go Caroline. Yep.
And I just wanted to say, Lino, I think we forgot to mention why you wanted to speak about walking last time.
Yeah, I wanted to talk more about walking was because my dad rest his soul, had a disability, had polio? Yes, polio. And I wanted to say to Sarah, thank you very much for responding to our podcast for that. It's really, really appreciated, darling. Darling.
That's okay. No, it's
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, Dad, because of his polio, had different sized shoes as well. So one was with a caliper, and a caliper will hold his leg up and keep his leg up moving. And then the other side of his would be a normal shoe and giving a different sized shoe and moving in a different way. So I totally understand where you're coming from, Sarah, and thank you very much for responding. I must apologize. I haven't found that book yet. I will try to. Someone Like Me my screen's gone crazy. John W. Quinn. I will try to find that book. But can we find it in Apple?
You know what?
Apple
I reckon books. if you go Amazon.com/Shine? Yeah, Amazon.com/Shine. So if you do, if any of you purchase the book, a bit of money goes to SQPN as well. So
there
we can all
go.
Do some good things all around. So important to build awareness, of the different disabilities there are and the things that people go through that we don't see, that we don't see the things that people have to do to maintain their bodies and stay mobile. So, Sarah, thank you. When a person reaches out and tells us their name and who they are and everything like that, it just makes us more connected to that family. And I hope, Sarah, that you know that we are connected to you and that, you know, whenever you're listening to this, you know, you are one of the people that we're thinking of and praying for as well. So thank you so much. We really appreciate that feedback. Send us more if you like. And anyone else who's listening, please, you know, send us feedback. Again, connecting with people, connecting with our Catholic family, connecting with people who are not Catholic as well. Anyone who's out there, who's taking some joy and comfort in our banter and our discussions about, you know, horses and frogs in backyards or whatever else.
And spiders.
And spiders, yeah. You know, burn them with fire. Yeah, you know, all that.
Don't kill them, please.
Oh, yeah. My goodness me.
All right.
Thou shalt not kill.
I think this is the most overtime banter.
Yeah, totally, thou shalt not kill. Just put a jar on top, slip a piece of paper, and then flick it outside. It's okay.
Yeah, that's actually what we do in the Sant household as well now, yeah. Yeah,
killing
them still okay. But anyway, thank you so much to everyone for joining us for episode 39 of The Catholics of Oz. As always, we would love to thank our patrons who make this show possible. So today, Anthony O, Teresa F, Shelley W, Joseph K, and Nicholas H. Through their generous support at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for The Catholics of Oz and all of the other shows to continue. You are keeping this network going. You are helping Dom with the resources he needs in order to do the editing work and everything else that needs to happen. So thank you so much for that. Because of you, this little Australian podcast has a home at StarQuest where we can continue doing what we do and reaching out to people like Sarah and the rest of you too. So anyway, any feedback that you have, send it across. We'd love to hear it. You can send feedback by visiting sqpn.com/Oz, spelt O-Z, where you can also find our show notes, including Caroline's Etsy store. You can also visit us at SQPN's Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Leave us some feedback there. And join our little community on Facebook at facebook.com/Catholics of Oz, and you can discuss our latest episodes, look at photos of things that we're going to share. We would love to have some discussion with you there. Caroline, thank you. Oh, sorry, before I do that, also don't forget you can email us, which is what people mostly do, catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. Caroline, thank you so much for being on episode 39 of The Catholics of Oz today.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Lino. It's been fun.
Yeah, and Lino, thanks again for joining us as well.
Thanks, Lindsay. Thanks, Caroline, and everyone.
Yep.
Take care out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant. Thank you for listening to episode 39 of The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.